In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So, let's talk about parenting during a pandemic. It's a ton of fun, right? There's so much time and so much togetherness. And in case, like me, your household has not magically transformed into Little House on the Prairie, I've got a little trick for you parents out there. And actually, this is a great idea for just about anyone. It's called time out. And I know you think you already know about this, right? So you put the kids in time out when they've talked back or started a fight or in my household picked up the cat and flipped it upside down for fun. But I'm not talking about putting the kids in time out. I'm talking about putting yourself in time out. This has three steps. Number one, announce that you're in timeout. Number two, go to your room. Number three, lock the door. Most child-rearing books say that kids should be in timeout for a minute per year of age. So for me, that's 39 and a half minutes of timeout. Because sometimes we just have to step away from a stressful situation. Sometimes we have to separate ourselves from the chaos in order to figure out how to step back into it. With everything that has happened in the past 6 months, with an unknown future ahead of us, going into timeout might seem the wisest course of action. And yes, we should take time to find our place and faith in the midst of all this. But we can't go into hiding and forget to come back out into the world. Hiding only helps us feel safe for a little while. Because if anything, there are people counting on us to come back out. Paul's letter to the church in Rome is the longest of his epistles, and it explores in depth Paul's understanding of salvation and faith. Paul was in the prime of his missionary work, and though he had not yet visited the church in Rome, his letter to the Romans lays out a broad theological foundation for the Christian church. In the text we heard read earlier, there's some very familiar and comforting verses. He says, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words." These verses conjure up a God that has our back, even when we don't know what we're doing. Paul was speaking on how our human shortcomings can separate us from the love of God, and that God can and will intervene when we don't know what we're doing. Paul speaks of a God that does not want us to be driven away by our own failings. It feels a little different to hear this text during a time when our lives are without some of our most foundational structure. When we have been separated from the very things and people that often provide us with the greatest joy, the greatest comfort, the things that inform how we live and how we pray. With all that has been taken away, it can often feel overwhelming and chaotic, like grief. And I can tell you, I frequently don't know how to pray as I ought. A question we get from Paul's text today is this: who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? We could easily make this list of perils and separations more modern. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will the internet or a pandemic or poverty or racism or ignorance or injustice separate us from the love of Christ? No matter what you change or add, the sin is in the separation. Separation one from another and separation from God. And God knows, have we been separated. We don't go to school. We don't go to church. We don't gather as a community or even as friends and family so often do for celebrations or funerals or weddings. The structure of life that keeps us together has fallen apart. Wouldn't it be easy just to go into our rooms and lock the doors and say, just forget it? Sometimes the easy thing to do is to add more separation into the void, just to hide away and let the chips fall where they may. But ignoring separation only gives it more power. Our faith calls on us to be many things, but it mostly calls on us to be stubborn, to believe in a God that heals the world despite the world's constant and ongoing attempts to break it. The world has a vocabulary of disconnection and easy words or themes or slogans to make us feel separated from each other. But don't buy into it. There are so many examples I've seen just in the past few months of what I can only describe as holy stubbornness. I see us as a community of faith stubbornly praying the daily office live during the week on, of all things, Facebook. And when I'm praying the daily office with you all on my assigned days, I'm not going to lie, I get a little bit anxious about it the night before. It's a whole thing. You know, you've got to like get the readings together and write your reflection and make sure all the prayers are marked. I've already told you, I don't always pray as I ought. But when we pray morning and noonday and evening prayer together, and I see your prayers and petitions pop up in the comment feed during the service, I feel more connected to my faith community than words can express. We are stubborn and refuse to believe that our faith can only be found in this building. And our stubborn prayers knit us all back together again. The other example of stubborn faith I want to share with you is what I got to witness and participate in this past week. I won't lie, it was hard to forego summer enrichment in our building this year. It would have been the 48th year, and we would typically have over 80 kids in the church every day for the whole month of July. There's some holy noise that happens when they're in this building. And having to say no to that hurt, even if it was for the right reasons. We came up with alternatives. The committee was stubborn in its commitment to showing these children and their families that despite our separation, they are loved and cared for as members of this community. But how are we going to do that during a pandemic? Calling it off would have been the easy thing to do. Just let it go for a year. But something, we'll call it the Holy Spirit interceding on our behalf, told us to keep going and to do something. So last week, I went with our program directors, Alicia Oakes and Rhett Butler, and we went to the campers' homes and passed out bag lunches and enrichment activities like coloring books and art sets, and next week they'll get books from Read WS. And I'll admit to you, this was Plan Z. We never intended for summer enrichment to be about simple distribution. And you know what? It wasn't. It was about refusing separation. When the kids saw Alicia and Rhett, or as they know them, Miss Oakes and Mr. Butler, at their door, the look on their faces was one that said, "You haven't forgotten about me." They saw two people who loved them and this program for over 20 years, and we were all reminded of how God's love refuses separation. Because, folks, it's not about giving people stuff. It's about stitching up the tears of sin and separation from each other and from God. God's love is stubborn and relentless, and we are too. To be relentless and stubborn in our faith doesn't mean we have to maintain some constant hectic pace or pursuit of perfection, that we can't take time to sit with our doubts and fears and failings. Admit it, sometimes we all need to take a time out. But what God continually reminds us today through the words of Paul is that we aren't meant to be separated from each other or from God. That nothing, neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Amen.